Yes, sir, we promised you a great main event here tonight.
WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running last.
It's still
rooted.
Chicken.
It was Rapop.
It's professional. Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world's number one sports and recreation podcast. Joined in Philadelphia by the physically large Stat Guy Greg.
Yo, what's going on, Peter?
Was that a Peter? You changed your P.
That was
to
a Peter.
Wow. That was
that
interesting.
Was a Peter.
And also coming to you from New York City in full blown. Fire Woo. Merch and a 70s jobber mustache. It's me, the mage one, the 24/7 champion.
Yes, the mustache. What inspired the mustache?
It's so bad. Oh my God, it's bad.
Did you lose a bet?
That's Were how you, by the way, it's rare that something that's good starts out with people going, did you lose a bet? I would say that almost never happens where someone says, did you lose a bet? But they mean it in a good way. So first of all, what happened was I was shaving, got to the stash, and I actually I just happened to clean, when I was about to do it, I looked and I hadn't butchered it yet. It was in the proper shape.
Okay. Cause it is in the proper shape.
So I was like,
have you ever had a stash?
No. I've done a goatee for a day, which by the way, this is the only place where I get really solid facial hair, so I probably got to shave this every day if I want to do the straight stash. But so I did it for laughs. And now there's a little bit of principle to it of I want to see for a few days. My dad's had a mustache. I'm not talking mustache. My dad's had a mustache
for his
it's a real mustache my entire life. And I believe the pictures, it goes back all the way to, hold on. Where is it?
Have you ever seen him without it?
Never. I got this classic. You've seen this. I think I've shown you this for the cheap.
Yep. I've seen that.
So that's how far back it goes. This is my dad. We're talking 1971. He's already got the full stash, right?
So this is your legacy we're talking about.
Yo.
Right now.
See, SGG, this is why I love you. Now you're talking that talk.
Yeah.
This mustache is legacy.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not just a look.
It's not just a look. I'm seeing what I can do. Just like this shirt isn't just a shirt. It's a shirt of a champion.
Exactly. Forever.
And damn it, I have your XL sitting right here, SGG. This is an L.
Shirt.
I have your XL sitting here, though.
It's
I want
a
you
beautiful
know.
Shirt.
Thank
so I've been seeing people get it, post it. As you get it, continue to post it. We want to see you. We want to see you get it. We want to see
it's,
you rock
it's so
it.
Love. Our people are so love, man. I love the Cheap Heat universe so much. The level of love.
Right.
Considering how late we ended up coming with this shirt, I'm so pleasantly surprised by how many people went out and bought it. And, you know, these shirts aren't cheap. By the time you put it up, and you have shipping and sales tax, and you want to make a few bucks back on the shirt, by the time you do that, it's a $40 operation, you know?
Yeah.
Unless you're going to, in a world where you're pressing up thousands of them and it gets cheap, but to do it like this, make to order, the companies themselves take a lot of money. They may, what you would think be the price of a regular shirt, it's already done. They have that. So then you're adding on top of that, and then you got, I say all that to say, I'm grateful. Thank you. It's really cool. And literally, like last week, I felt comfortable. I was like, you know what? Let me. I am going to make a charitable donation. I got extra cash in the stash.
Vice principal, which by the way, he hit his goal, 100,000. I saw.
What? Now, by the way, yeah. I also bought a few stupid baseball cards because of this as well. So let me not act like I'm just a saint. I got a 2019 Zion Williamson rookie card as well.
Whoa!
Yeah, I got this.
And I like how you already have them like in the case.
These days, this is the wave. So that's what's happening right now. If you're going to buy cards these days, you're getting them. The way generally to get them is they've already been graded. So like,
okay,
you basically get screwed. If you were to pull this, like here's a Fernando Tatis 2019 Topps Chrome rookie card. If you were to pull this same card out of a pack,
right,
and you don't have it graded, right? I don't know what this Tatis is worth right now. I'm making this up. Let's say it's $200. If the Tatis is worth $200, PSA, Gem Mint 10, meaning PSA has decided it's a Gem Mint Perfect 10. If you were to have this physical exact same card without the PSA, that $200 card is now going online instead for $75, $90. What? Yeah. Because they don't grade it for free. So the person who's then buying online, if they ever want to have it graded and get its full value, they have to send it off. They have to wait for it. They have to pay for it. And also, they're taking your word for it that you're saying it's in great condition. Whereas when I bought this one online, it's already PSA Gem Mint 10. So it's kind of a ripoff, but if you're the buyer, I'd probably rather spend the extra dough and know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And then when you put it away forever, if Fernando Tatis becomes the greatest player in baseball history, you're like, I know I have a Gem Mint 10. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'll tell you what, the baseball card business is out of control. We'll do a separate podcast about this sometime with the wrestling cards. It's out of control. The business is wild on fire. If anybody has any 1985 Topps packs, please let me know. I'd love to open a pack on the air. They're I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Price is going up on these. That Hogan rookie, there's a couple of Andres in there that are very rare. There's a JYD. That 85 set, the 1985 set, and most of you are listening right now, you're going to reach out and you're saying, I have these. And they're the ones from like 87 or 89 or 90. And a lot of those are fun and may have one little thing of some value. But the real, the ones that people are looking for right now are the 85 Topps and the 1982. There's a set of NWA cards. God darn it. When I talk about my interest, all I do is negatively impact the market. You know that, right? I can personally impact the market.
Now, while we're recording, now there are people going right to eBay and the price is going up.
I bid $3,000 this week on a sealed box of 1985 Topps, 36 packs.
The whole box.
36 packs.
Oh my God.
I threw down $3,000. It ended up going for like $3,600. Now, again, to the exact same point I was making earlier, the box isn't authenticated. If you have an authenticated box, it wouldn't have been going for $3,000. It would have been going for $4,500, $5,000.
Now, what are the chances that there's a box sitting in a warehouse somewhere that a McMahon might be willing to part with? Or a McMahon, a McMahon Levesque, maybe.
I think somewhere there might be a box or two of cards, but I got to be honest. I've spent a good amount of time in the warehouse, as our audience is well aware, because I show off about it all the time. I never came by that much just merch. Like, yes, there is merch of recent years, like extra stuff that got sent there, but you're talking like late 2000s stuff. Whoa. I never saw old boxes of merch like, yo, LJNs or Topps or, and to be honest, those things probably sat more so with those companies that produced it and didn't spend a lot of time at the WWE headquarters because they just went to stores and were sold. WWE did the license deal with Topps, Topps sells them. WWE does the license deal with LJN, LJN sells them. So probably not that much. This was all around about long way of saying, we love you guys. We're so appreciative of the Cheap Heat universe. We're going to be making moves soon. Been talking to a lot of different places about what it's going to look like. All I know is your podcast product, your getting is not going to be affected. If anything, it's going to be better. Maybe have a little bit of help behind us and people who are interested in helping kind of forward this thing. But what you're getting is not going anywhere, and it may go up. And, you know, if we end up going something like the Patreon route, which is an option, then there'll be other things. Like, in addition to our weekly shows, maybe you'll be able to join the watch along with the Jew World Order on Patreon and things like that. So I don't want to hit people over the head. I find it annoying when podcasts are like, so give us. It's just annoying. But we will. We'll have a simple option where you can either keep listening to it as you were, or maybe there's an option where you spend a few bucks here or there and you get to join, do special things like bonus episodes, stuff like that. But it might not be that. Maybe we just end up keep rocking the way we are. My goal is, can we do the podcast and not talk about erection pills? You know, can we do the podcast and not talk about stamps? Can we do the podcast and not have to stop to do things that none of you guys care about? The hardcore people who have stayed with us through every iteration. You are the people we most care about pleasing and having this product. So with that being said, let's shut the F up and get to the week in professional wrestling. Stat guy, Greg, what the hell's going on?
Did we talk about Molly Holly's Hall of Fame induction?
No, we did not. But she was the first name I know for the class of 2021.
Yes.
No, don't, not. What? That's the wrong button. Sorry, that was the wrong button.
What?
No, that was I meant this one. There you
go. Okay. Yes.
No. That one.
Yes. Yes, because Molly Holly, I think...
Oh, she's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
Yeah, easily. She checks all the boxes, right? She good in the ring, wildly entertaining, had memorable moments. I think about her and Spike Dudley, Romeo and Juliet, a Jace-esque storyline that was really big.
That resulted in some point in her taking ridiculous things from the Dudley boys, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought she'd gone through a table or two in her day.
Yeah, I think there isn't a woman on the roster back then who didn't.
That's true. Even old ladies were catching it.
Mae Young, think about.
Now,
going through the table.
Serious, no. Okay, so seriously, I jokingly hit the trombone. First name out of the gate, it's slightly underwhelming. Big picture, Molly Holly, well-deserving. You know, me and Dip talked about this the other day. You know Dip, of course, he was not that excited. I was like, listen, man, you look at who's in the Hall of Fame, no doubt Molly Holly should be there. No doubt. So I understand, you know, the feeling that I even just had when it's the first name out of the gate, okay. But remember, they're going to have to handle the class of 2020 this year too.
Yeah.
So 2021 is being added on, and now SGG, I'm sure you have the update that we have another one today.
I did not hear the other one.
Well, this one's more interesting. I'm not saying more deserving. It's more interesting.
Okay.
Added today, Eric Bischoff.
What?
Yes, Eric Bischoff. And he was actually like shockingly touched. Actually, we could play a clip of Corey's podcast. Corey posted Graves posted a clip of them telling him. And he was really, he seemed legitimately pretty choked up by it. I was actually sort of, I don't know, I was kind of taken aback by that. I don't know if I don't know if you know this, guys, but he happens to be a great worker. So.
Great at Jace.
I mean, a great worker, not like, with limitations, but I mean, in terms of showing emotions in this spot, who knows? Let's see. I think this is it.
Eric, after all these years and contributions you have made to the sports entertainment industry, it is our honor and our pleasure to inform you that you, Eric Bischoff, will be inducted as a member of the 2021 class of the WWE Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Eric.
Wow. Huh. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know quite what to say. Wow. This is awesome.
I'd say it's well overdue. We'll give you a minute to process it.
Yeah. It'll take more than a few minutes, guys. Just wow. That's all I got, man. For a guy that can never shut the hell up on my own podcast, I don't have anything to say. I'm just speechless.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Listen, I have mixed feelings on Bischoff. We all have mixed feelings. If you're a wrestling fan, unless you're Brian Mann, You have mixed feelings on Eric Bischoff.
Terminate on site. I don't have mixed feelings.
Oh, you're TOS.
Brett already put the word out.
Yeah. Especially if you're a hitman guy, you see it's
terminate on site.
Yeah, he's TOS. But you know, we all have different feelings. But I don't think there's any way to argue that in terms of impact on the business, he's not a guy who belongs. You know, like if you want to get into an argument about Vince Russo, Vince Russo viscerally annoys me much more. Bischoff, it's hard to argue. It's just hard to argue. He rocked the WWE to the foundation. They were on their knees
for years.
Keep in mind all the great great business minds, some of which weren't that great, and some actually were great, that came along in the years prior to try to take out Vince McMahon. All of them failed.
Vince was Teflon. I mean, even Jim Crockett Jr., who we lost this past month, he tried to take off Vince McMahon and failed. Like,
damn, we didn't even get to talk about Jim Crockett.
Yeah, Vince and Jim, like, it's crazy how their lives...
Oh, no, that was my fault. Sorry. Keep going.
So parallel. Like, their fathers were NWA members. They both decided to branch out on their own. They went head-to-head a couple of times by going national and sort of bucking the system of the NWA. And let's be honest, you know, there's no WrestleMania if there's no Starrcade, which is JCP. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no Royal Rumble if there's no Bunkhouse Brawl, which is also JCP. And there might not even be Survivor Series if there's no Starrcade, because, you know, that first Survivor Series was straight up Vince going after that Thanksgiving date that Starrcade had for years, which again, JCP. So just him competing with Vince and forcing Vince to step his game up throughout the 80s created this legend that everybody reveres right now. And then to bring it back to Eric Bischoff, like in the 90s, Eric Bischoff also went head to head with Vince. And we make a big joke out of AEW now signing legends of yesteryear and old timers and people from different eras to sort of boost what they had as like, oh, that's so WCW in a negative way. But that is very much forgetting that when Hogan popped up on WCW, you know, he wasn't super interesting right away, but it meant something.
By the way, that's a really good point, though, SGG, in really supporting Bischoff being a Hall of Famer. Because Hogan showing up in 94, no one shows Pasta Mania, brother.
Yeah. Thunder in Paradise, I think, was the name of the show.
We're talking about, when you talk about Hogan in WCW, you're talking NWO.
Yeah.
So you're talking the Bischoff era. That's when he really took full control. So you give him his props. So it'll be fun. It also made for an interesting, who inducts Eric Bischoff?
Brett.
Hogan?
They'll probably bring in Hogan to do it.
Yeah.
They probably will. If they're real, they'll bring in Heyman to do it.
That would be interesting. Heyman's a promoter. Heyman worked there.
Yep. Heyman and Bischoff sort of also.
By the way, if they really wanted to make it interesting, they'd have Vince do it.
Yeah.
You know, like Vince giving him his props and being like, yo, listen, it's the least Vince could do considering the way Vince sunned him afterwards so badly.
Vince did that to everybody. Everybody eventually had to come back and kiss the ring.
Oh, yeah. And in some cases, more than the ring.
Yeah.
I think, is Bischoff a member of the Kiss My Ass Club? He is, right?
I think so. I think he is. Now, does this take away, because Bischoff had a little stint in AEW, and when Big Show showed up to AEW, people were convinced that like that would delay his Hall of Fame prospects for a little while. Same thing with Christian. I don't think Christian is in the WWE Hall of Fame yet. That him showing up at AEW is going to delay his Hall of Fame prospects.
It might delay it forever.
But Bischoff popped up in AEW like
twice.
Moments
but
after
he's showing up, but he's not signing a deal. He's just showing up and doing he's just appearing.
Yeah, but they wouldn't even let Undertaker appear at StarCast because of the proximity to AEW.
That's Undertaker. Never forget, that's Undertaker. Eric Bischoff, stop. Undertaker's like, I mean, it's the difference between the stuffed animal you keep in your bed you know, that's like, you know, the one when you were a kid, like my Garfield and Odie, they were sitting right on the bed every night. And then there was the koala bear my parents got me on some vacation that's sitting on the bottom of my closet. Okay. Now, listen, I love them all.
Eric Bischoff's in the bottom of the closet.
I love them all. But Undertaker's Garfield and Odie. And Eric Bischoff is the koala bear in the closet, okay?
Oh, my God.
And that's no disrespect. I love the koala bear. But he was hard. It wasn't comfortable. You're not going to sleep with it. My little matching Garfield and Odie? That's love. It's just not the same thing. All right, so that's big news. What else you got, SUG? There's a lot going on.
Yeah. There were rumors this past week that Andrade requested his release from WWE. Rumors that I did not believe, I'll be honest. And then this morning, El Idolo sent a tweet that hit me right in the chest.
Here we go.
I couldn't believe it. He said, I'm going to get it for you guys right now.
Here we go. All right, are you crying, SUG?
I was about to. The rumors are true, and I don't know what the future holds, but I want to make my dreams come true. Thank you for giving me so much support these last days.
Oh no.
And then the same in Spanish. And I was just like,
it hurt.
Yeah. No entiende, El Ídolo, papi. Why? Talk to me. Why?
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
Damn, El Ídolo.
Yeah, he is one of the best though right now. So Him feeling like he's being underutilized and wanting better for himself is,
I see,
you know, it's absolutely warranted. A lot of times when people say, I deserve this or I deserve that, you know, Peyton Royce, I think of, is somebody who gave a promo recently about how she deserves to be in certain spots. And I just think about, like, you know, work for it. Like Bianca Belair, you never heard her say she deserved to be anywhere. She just goes out, performs, shine, and made herself undeniable. And Andrade, I think of in the same vein. Like, he is undeniable. When he shows up on your screen, you know you're going to get a banger of a match. And
but look, so but it never, I mean, it never quite, it almost happened. It's really hard. The argument about people getting unfairly treated or not, it's really complicated because, yes, it definitely happens. And people get screwed.
Yeah.
And people get started and stopped all the time.
Yes.
They start, then someone important loses interest, and now they're not. They become the koala bear in the closet. Okay?
Yeah.
A lot of great people go from the bed to the closet. We've seen it 1,000 times. Cuddled up at night for a few months, and then all of a sudden, wait, I haven't seen that stuffed animal in months. It's laying face down, bottom of the closet. And so it's hard to describe to someone who really got the opportunity at some point, but then had the opportunity taken away, did they get the chance? Like Andrade, we can't sit here and act like Andrade didn't get a chance at all.
Right.
He definitely got a big push for a while. There was definitely something.
Yes.
Him and Thea, they definitely had a thing. There was something going on. Zelina, it's been that long already that she's been gone, which is crazy. The fact they're both gone is crazy.
Yeah.
Zelina and El Idolo felt like it could have been something big. It feels like a missed opportunity.
For a long time.
It feels like a missed opportunity with Zelina Vega and Andrade. It is disappointing no matter how you cut it. So he's going to pop up on the other channel.
Well, I don't think they released him.
Oh, wait. I thought you said the rumors are true.
The rumors were that he requested his release, not that he had been released.
Ah.
So he definitely requested his release.
Got it. And he's just sitting on the shelf. Okay.
Right. And then, you know, Sasha requested her release a while back. I think it was right after the New York Mania, the most recent New York Mania.
And now she's
now she's in a great spot. So it's possible that because they don't have anything for him going into WrestleMania, they're keeping him on the shelf and he could pop up later. Who knows?
By the way, we never addressed the, like, it was really literally one person, I think. So it's probably not worth addressing. Maybe a couple other people retweeted it. The guy who came after us for our thoughts that we needed more for WrestleMania at the time than just Sasha versus Bianca.
Yeah, it's absurd. And then like I said, I think he misrepresented what we were saying.
Oh, you don't say. Someone did that on Twitter based on something they heard. They changed it. You don't say.
Because, I mean, listen, it's WrestleMania, right? WrestleMania is like, if you think about it like a fruit stand, right? You got apples, oranges, pineapples, mangoes. You need everything, right?
Yep.
Right now they got the apples. They got some oranges too. I'm not saying that that's not great. But we need some imports, right? We need some mangoes. We need some pineapples, some yes, grapes.
All that.
For it to be a legitimate fruit stand, or at least one of the all-time greats.
A great fruit stand, SGG. You're not just talking about some random nothing.
Right. And me saying that these apples are not mangoes is not a slight to the apples. The apples are great.
The apples are great.
We raved about Sasha and Bianca. When Bianca was here, we begged her to take of all the women that she could have faced. The NXT championship.
Yeah, but this is where I end up in this annoying position on the podcast where I sound like one of those anti-cancel culture people, which I'm not. But I will say, this is when wrestling's over the top. The over the top, you have to say everything politically correct people. If you don't come out and just go, Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks is already the best and most important match in the history of WrestleMania. If you don't come out and say that, you are trashing women having this opportunity and women of color having this opportunity. No, you could be completely excited. Understand the moment. Think it could be great.
Which we do.
And still, A, want more.
Yep.
And B, still hold them to a standard that we want this to be dope. We want the story to be dope. We want the match to be dope. I don't give out awards because we have the opportunity for it to be good. Guys, this is wrestling. If you give awards for simply who wins the titles, you may be missing the point. It's about the execution. That's the whole thing. Excellence of execution, if you will.
And to be quite honest, the way they're handling this story on camera has been proven our point that yes, this is a historic match. Yes, this is something we're excited about, but this match is not a holy crap, I can't believe we're getting this match type of match, because they feel the need to force a storyline that involves Reginald of all people.
I'm glad you brought this up. I was so worried you were going to go the other way, SGG. I was so worried you were going to say, and they're doing a great job. Great so far.
I love Reginald. I love Sasha.
Love Reginald. I think Reginald is an...
I love Bianca.
Yep. All good pieces for different things.
Yeah.
But not for this.
100%. 1,000%.
Sorry. I have a drop for that. You're right. SGG, I'm so glad you said that because... And they're also just...
1,000%.
They're relying too much on Sasha just standing in the middle of the ring cutting promos on Bianca. There's a way we could have done this where maybe it was a lot of friendship and a lot of just nice, cool moments in the ring where you're seeing them build a camaraderie, but then there's moments of like, I don't know what's going on here. And then at some point we see what's going on. Mm-hmm. But this, they're trying to do it on the back of like dueling promos between them. I don't think that's putting them in the best position to make this the best match possible. These are two amazing athletes. Bianca, I think, is on her way to being a really great promo. Sasha is, at this point, I think Sasha is what she is on the mic. She's not a 10. She's not a 1, but it's also not what you don't pack your ass into an arena to see Sasha talk. You go to see Sasha have phenomenal wrestling matches.
Yeah.
Bianca, I think, has a much higher ceiling with the microphone, but she's still new at it. What both of them have in bunches and bunches is incredible ability. So how do we use that to get us amped for WrestleMania? And It's not Reginald.
And just to go back to our point too, you know, when we compared the Sasha Bianca to like a Hogan Rock or like a Sting Triple H or like one of those matches where like Sasha and Bianca are on the same roster, right now in the same eras. They were gonna cross paths.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that Hogan and Rock was such a mind-blowing match was because Hogan wasn't even a thought of somebody who would be in the WWE again until like a month and a half before Mania. Sting is somebody who, after WCW folded, went to TNA and spent a decade there. We never thought we'd see him
in a
WrestleMania ring. So those are the mangoes. Those are the pineapples. Those are the ones that's like, listen, there's one shot to do it, and it can never happen again. I'm not saying that the apples are bad or that I'm not excited about the apples, but we want some grapes and some of the other fruits. Well,
and to your point, SGG, apples are there every year.
Right.
Apples are there every year. And this could be there to your, you really just said that well. Bianca just got there. Sasha's not even 30, I don't think. This could be going on for a very long time.
And so, when you said Rock Austin, I think that's a bigger compliment to pay them than you know, being like a Hogan, Rock, or anything.
It's a much bigger compliment. Of course, that jackwagon on Twitter doesn't listen to our podcast, so he didn't hear us say to Bianca, I think you could be Rock Austin, and he's mad that I didn't already crown their match the greatest achievement in wrestling history. Sorry, that's not how it works. We'll see what it does, but the truth is, for Mania, you need some things that make you go, oh-ish, I can't believe I'm getting this. Mm-hmm. And we're still... Who could not believe? If you told me, I can't believe we're getting Bianca and Sasha Banks, I'd be like, well, you obviously don't watch professional wrestling. Of course you can believe it. They're two of the biggest names on the same show. What are you talking about? You can't believe it. It's not like Hogan and Flair. Oh, are they ever going to come together? I mean, come on. So where we are right now, SGG, I have some major concerns. Major concerns. Very concerned about the titles coming off of the Hurt Business.
Yeah.
I do not like that.
And we love the New Day.
Love the New Day. I don't see why the New Day needed titles to have a match with AJ and Omos. We needed titles involved in that? Why?
Is AJ on his way to becoming a Grand Slam champion?
If that's the only reason, okay, that could be a reason to do it. And don't get me wrong, AJ is a worthy guy. But that's not injury. Who cares? No one cares. No one cares about that. AJ doesn't care about that. No one cares about that.
Can you imagine, though, Omos as a champion already?
Don't confuse me. I think it's Omos.
Omos. They keep changing it, and they all pronounce it differently. What's the official cheap heat pronunciation?
I think it's Omos.
Omos. We'll go with Omos.
I've gotten an email about this at some point. I believe it's Omos. I should go check, but I'm pretty sure Omos. So, first of all, I'll tell you one thing I do like about this. Love Omos debuting at WrestleMania.
So it's going to be at the pay-per-view, right? Fastlane.
No.
Doesn't he have Xavier Woods at Fastlane?
I thought they challenged him.
They challenged for the tag team championships at WrestleMania.
And then made a match for him at Fastlane?
And then Xavier Woods and New Day, I believe, was just like, no, you don't get to just do it like that.
I watched this segment. Am I stupid?
And then...
It's very possible I am stupid.
They have a match at Fastlane.
Okay. Well, you know what? My brain started spinning at the beginning of this segment, and then I didn't even realize what happened at the end. Let me see. Fastlane this weekend.
Oh, wait. I think I might be wrong.
It's not on here. You just made that up.
He has a match with Xavier Woods. I'm pretty sure they announced it.
SGG, you're the stat guy. Match? I'm looking right now. I have Nia Jax and Shayna versus Sasha and Bianca. I have Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan. I have Big E versus Apollo Crews. Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. Alexa Bliss versus Randy Orton.
Oh, no, you're right. He is making his debut at WrestleMania.
How did you just make that up?
I don't know what I thought.
You
I
got
saw
confused.
A graphic.
He called out Xavier Woods, and he was like, "You know about this." Mm-hmm. And he called out. That's it, though. The challenge, and they said, "We accept." That was it. And I started believing you because you're stat guy.
You know what? I apologize.
You should. You should be ashamed.
To you and to the members of the Cheap Heat universe, I apologize. I could have sworn it's some Mandela effect, is what I'm going to blame it on. I saw a graphic, and I could have sworn I saw Xavier Woods. And
so all of that, we are not bright on this show, but I say all of that to say, I like the idea of Omos debuting at WrestleMania. That's neat. That's fun. It's actually kind of different. I didn't picture this match. This feels like a WrestleMania kind of fun match, you know?
Yeah.
This feels that
an attraction
way.
Match.
It's an like, attraction match.
He's a giant dude. Every time
and the new and the new day and I'm sorry, SG, finish your point. I apologize.
No, I was just gonna say every time he comes out, I'm just like in awe of how much he towers.
Oh, it's amazing
over everyone.
Yo, I gotta send you this picture, bro. I didn't post this. This picture's so crazy. You should maybe just post it on your page. I was gonna post it, and then I got embarrassed, honestly, because I'm like, I'm just gonna get roasted so bad. Do I even want to post this? And why doesn't it come up in Tampa?
Yo, I wonder what his shoot height is.
Bruh.
But it's
when ridiculous. You see this, when you see this picture, when was the last pay-per-view?
It was the Raw. No, Elimination Chamber. They have him at 7'3".
What was the date
of Elimination Chamber?
Yeah, February. Oh, there's me winning the title. Was or maybe it was that day when I won the title. So it's so hard to tell with my championship wins.
You know yeah, saying? You know,
like I get so confused because I'm. Oh, here it is. Found it. Yo, SG.
It was at the Rumble.
It was at the Rumble. This picture is so crazy. I just want you guys to hear Stat Guy react to this. How nuts I look. And I'm going to post it. F it.
You got to now.
Got to.
Wow. Wow. Like, that's crazy. And he's like leaning on something too. So he's like taking away a couple, not a lot, too many inches, but like it's not as like Jesus. Like this is crazy.
I'm just writing, just have fun with this. Like, why even bother?
This is crazy.
It's not good. It's obscene. So SGG, so that match appears, but why does it need titles? Why do we need tag titles involved in a New Day Omos debut match? Like, so I said, I'm worried. I'm worried because they take the title off of Cedric and Shelton. When was the last time you saw the entire Hurt Business together? Not since, I think, the night Lashley won the title.
Yeah. So we never even got to see them on screen, really, with all the gold.
I'm worried this is the end of the Hurt Business.
I don't think so.
I'm worried it's the Lashley show with MVP as his Paul Heyman.
I don't think it's the end of the Hurt Business. I think that will be a part of the Hurt Business. But, I mean, there's two ways to think about it, right? Your way of that and taking away the titles, it's only a matter of time before Cedric and Shelton go by the wayside, and then it becomes the Lashley and MVP show, and who knows how long they can ride that wave. Or the Hurt Business is now boosting that resume, because if they lost the championships, anything they did once, they can do it again. They can get them back. And now you have two-time tag team champions, maybe three, maybe four. You know what I mean? New Day didn't get to 11 by constantly holding on to the championships, but just constantly getting their hands on the championships. And then when you look SGG, back at the Hurt Business. SGG.
This is wishful to say.
You don't think they're going to get it back? You don't think they're going to get it back at some point?
No. I mean, at some point, maybe. But SGG, this is...
Not at WrestleMania, because the New Day has a WrestleMania
right.
match.
So we're a month out from Mania. Right? Or almost 3.5 weeks out from WrestleMania. Which is crazy that there's a pay-per-view, and then we're it's like we blink and it's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Is it 2 weeks? No, it's 3 weeks apart. It's 3 weeks apart. So... Yeah.
Excuse me.
We know that for the next month, the bottom line is they were like, oh, WrestleMania is coming. Get the title off them and get it into something meaningful. That's what I don't like about it.
They could have made that meaningful, though. They could have made that meaningful.
Don't tell me. Please. I'm the one who's upset. I don't want this to happen. But what I'm worried about is, you know, it just seems to be MVP and Bobby Lashley right now. And to me, that would be a missed opportunity. Because as much as I love MVP and Bobby Lashley, I love the Hurt Business more. The whole thing. The whole thing. And it's short-sighted to get so hyped up off of Lashley that you forget about how potentially interesting the Hurt Business is as an overall thing. And, you know, I think it's a lack of understanding of sort of what it connotes, what the Hurt Business connotes to viewers. So I hope I'm wrong. You guys can tell us.
I hope so too. But I mean, who knows? Maybe they find their way into this championship match with Omos and AJ and the
Omos.
New Day. Omos and AJ and the New Day. Maybe they find their way into
you
that.
You Omos got that right.
One day. But yeah, maybe. We'll see. But I don't think this means the end of the Hurt Business. I don't think when it's all said and done, we're going to look back at this moment of them losing the championships to the New Day as sort of like the death.
I truly hope you're correct, sir. SGG, what else happened this week? We should talk about, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about that match on AEW last night.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go to next. I mean, just to put a ball on the WWE side of things, Roman and Daniel Bryan are going to have a special enforcer at their Fast Lane match. Who that is going to be determined on SmackDown. It's either going to be Jay or Edge. And Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre was made official for WrestleMania also.
Also kind of made official in a semi-clumsy way.
Yeah.
Like they didn't just have the straight up moment where it's like they're on TV and it's like, I challenge you. Just give it to us straight. That's we're talking about main event WrestleMania or main event to Jace. I think you want to just kind of make that straightforward, not a graphic and then a Twitter announcement. You know how I feel about that.
Yeah. I think they, who knows?
Stop. Maybe. Why are we worried about Twitter?
Yeah.
The Which social media does not need to be worried. Social media is doing fine. That's not our concern.
Which is, it's interesting you say that too, because I'm noticing a trend with these Hall of Fame announcements, you know, one happening after the bell and then one happening on the bump. I think,
oh my God,
I think where's the next one? They have like 5 podcasts on the network, right?
Oh, so. Yeah. The next one's going to be Sam's going to announce it during dinner. Sam and Jess are going to be having dinner and his 2 kids, and Sam's just going to announce it at the table.
Yeah. And then they're going to put it on tout. Everybody see.
It's going to be on Sam Roberts' tout account.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You're right, because so far it's bump and a podcast. Where are we going to – yo, this used to start – they used to practically – it would be like the first commercial break on Raw. The day after Rumble at like 8:30 on Raw, it would be like dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, make a big spectacle out of it. The first thing out – this is like Hall of Fame.
Yeah. The last one's going to be a clubhouse room right before Mania.
Yo, can you imagine the clubhouse room announcement? Y'all just want to say I'm not excited about this, y'all.
It'll be Johnny Laurinaitis moderating a room.
Hey, I'm here with Kaz and Emilio Sparks. We'd like to announce here on Clubhouse. I don't know why I sound sort of like Bret Hart, but the last inductee to the 2021 Hall of Fame. Is that right?
That's right.
I definitely can't do Emilio's accent.
The Staten Island? You got
that
be
level
there.
Of Staten Island accent, yeah. I can't do. I, Emilio Sparks, would like to introduce. I have a Boston accent now, and I would like to introduce the next member of the Hall of Fame, Layla L.
Boston accent to the untrained ear is close enough to a Staten Island, but I'm glad you caught it. But yes.
Let's all.
The AEW main event from last night. Listen, when AEW botched one main event, we came here to let you know it was a botch. This time they went the other way with it. Whew. And we're here to let you know that they heard everyone's concerns about how they were handling the women's division over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, listen, we can do it.
Oh, we
that's,
can do it.
I feel like that's what the message was, that, like, listen, don't think we can't. It can happen over here too. Like,
it could women, go down.
Yeah. If you need it, if we you, listen, we got it.
So it was a war. And first of all, props to, I know we need to give props to everyone, but I want to point out Britt Baker, who I did not think had that in the tank. I love Britt.
I didn't think so either.
You know I'm a Britt Baker fan.
Yes.
Did not think.
I am as well.
I did not. I love the character. I love the everything about, I think she's charismatic and I think she's great. I did not expect a bloodbath, like attacks. I mean, and not only that, there was nothing done badly either. It wasn't just bloody. It was really smooth. Well done.
And everything made sense too. It was like, you know what I mean? Everything made sense. There weren't any gratuitous spots. I know we ripped on Mox and Omega for the exploding bat to the face that didn't end the match.
Mm-hmm.
But over here, every single thing made sense. They set up a table. They didn't touch it. And then that ended up being the table that, Britt Baker's bodyguard goes through. The thumbtacks come into play. And then Thunder Rosa used them in a really smart way to escape the submission hold. And then it was just really brutal and violent. But not, again, not in a gratuitous way. It was just very fun, really great. Easily the best women's match that they've given us. And it's definitely a match that people should seek out from a Dynamite. I can't believe I'm saying this, but it is.
It was really, really, really good. And the lesson in it from a WWE standpoint or a wrestling business standpoint, the lesson in it is having that random match that, you know, maybe on paper you're not thinking. No, I wasn't thinking about this match, right?
No.
You make it the main event. You add a cool stipulation, and you're sitting there at home watching an episode of free TV, and before you know it, you're having a legitimate holy S moment. That's awesome. We are here for that. Like, everyone wants a moment like that. And the word starts spreading of like, yo, you seen what's going on here? Like, this is crazy. Yeah. And it makes you think it's worth it to tune in next week. And by the way, Britt Baker loses the match and will no doubt be a bigger star than she's ever been.
Yes, easily. Easily.
So
100%.
If you have not seen Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker, I strongly recommend you seek it out. Shout out to them both. They crushed it. I hope AEW takes advantage of this.
Yeah, that's going to be the big thing, is like, you know, putting the women in the position to do that. You know what I mean? Just putting them in the position to even have these types of matches consistently where they're showcased and they're not rushed through. Because even when, like you said, when this match, when I saw that it was a thing that happened and, you know, the stipulation and everything, it felt so random. But then they tried to remind us on commentary that this feud has been long running, but it hasn't felt like that because of how they make the women feel over there. So just continue to give them the time and nurture these feuds so that a match like this gets what it deserves in terms of hype and intrigue and interest.
The only question is, after the fact, if they really want to step this thing up, you know, and make this feel meaningful, they get a sommelier involved.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only way to take a match like a story like this to the next level.
Wine pairings are very important, though. Don't
undersell. Wine pairings galore.
Don't undersell the wine pairing.
No, you can't. You can't do that. SGG, do we leave out anything else big from this week in professional wrestling?
I can't think of anything.
Come on, SGG. We say that, and then tickets go on sale tomorrow for Mania, and the rumors out there were that they're basically trying to fill the place.
Well, what I've been reading is that, you know, they're selling pods, and so they're putting 1 to 6 people in a pod, and that's how they're gonna basically fill it to 75%.
What do you mean a pod? Like literally enclosed?
Yes.
Well, that's kind of cool.
They're going to enclose the space, and then, you know, you can have one up to six people in there, but you could be in there by yourself. And that's going to be your seat to WrestleMania. I don't know how they're going to handle things like people going to the bathroom,
well,
and stuff like that.
I mean, that's just going to happen. People are still going to be out and about. They're going to be buying food. Like,
right. And that's what gets tricky, though, when you have it at 75% capacity, because the concourse can get crowded. So, yes, people are in their crowds. I mean, in their pods, and they're safe and it's tucked away. But the concourse is a busy area. It's just a fact.
I'm cool with that. Like, by that point, the vaccination will be, I mean, over 100 million people will be vaccinated. It's outdoors. People should still be wearing masks, I hope. So if the worst thing you have to do is engage with people in this version of the COVID era, on your way to concessions or to the bathroom, I'm actually fine with that. I personally would be comfortable with it because I'd be spending most of my time in the pod.
Yeah.
So I get the food, but also I would hopefully be vaccinated. I'm also doing everything I can to try to get vaccinated as soon as
it's available. That's the other part too, like hoping that people are fully vaccinated.
Which is a whole different conversation altogether.
But people have been getting their doses. I mean, a lot of people got their first dose already, which means that no matter which vaccination you have, by the time May rolls around, people will have their second dose taken care of as well.
Also, let's talk about how everyone, and many of you listening feeling the same way, shout out to everyone who's like embarrassed to tell people that they got the vaccine because it wasn't technically their turn. I know you know how many people have said to me like, yeah, I got the first shot. And I'm like, oh, how? And they go, well, don't say anything. But and they tell me how they got it. And I'm like, you know, I haven't gotten it yet. And I'm waiting for it either to be very easy for me. Like someone hits me up and is like, yo, you can go to the site and get it right now. Mm-hmm. Or for it to just be my turn and it to be easy. But I personally have no moral judgment for someone who's like, yo, I knew someone, they got me an appointment. I said I worked at a restaurant. I don't. When I hear about that, I'm just like, it's a moral quandary. But my personal belief is I don't believe you're taking that vaccine from someone else who wanted it. Like, I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
Because there's two things, right? One, when you hear somebody say they got it and you don't think it's their turn, we don't really know their whole like medical history, right?
True. Off
the bat to say that they jumped a lot. Number one. Number two, these vaccines have a shelf life, right?
So correct.
Let's say everybody who's eligible to get it, of those people, there's a high percentage of people who just don't want to take it, whether they're elderly, you know, essential worker, whatever, they just don't want to take it. Those vaccines gotta go no matter what. So now it's do you waste the vaccine? Well,
and then I know some people, I don't remember which person I'm talking about, honestly. Someone told me they knew someone, it was like a doctor hookup. Oh yeah, I know who it is. It was a rich person kind of connect. And that person was willing to get them the shot, right?
Yeah.
Are you telling me that my friends connect to that rich person through whatever that hookup it was at a hospital? If he didn't get it, the hookup was going to go to someone else more in need? No, it just wasn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah, it was just going to sit there. So like,
I'm not, and by the way, I know I could get roasted for this. And by the way, bite me because I am not butting ahead of the line. I'm waiting for my turn. I'm just saying,
you're not judging people.
I don't judge when they tell me at this point. I'm like, listen, if you need it and someone offered it to you, go get it. Because guess what? A lot of people are choosing not to get it. So there's no way to really qualify. We've never been through this before. So I'm not mad at, you know who I'm mad at? I'm mad at people who don't want to get it and still want to go out. That's who I'm mad at. And I understand, and I understand the reluctance. I have good friends who I've argued with about it. But at the end of the day, I don't agree with the argument. And you've been getting vaccines your whole life, fam.
Yeah.
So if you
just to go to public school in New York, you had to get your measles, your mumps, and the other one was it rubella.
Have you had this argument with people?
No.
You haven't had an anti-vaxxer argument?
Nah. Thankfully.
They're fun. And I'm not, again, still not casting a moral judgment on it. You have the right to make that call. But if in terms of who I'm more annoyed with, it's probably the people being like, nah, I don't want it versus the people like, I'm going to find a way to get it. Like,
yeah.
It ultimately, while it's all of it's problematic, I believe the world needs to get vaccines so we can return to life. The fact that there are people out here who didn't want to, they didn't want to close down in the first place, but they also don't want the vaccine to open up. Now I got a problem. Now we got issues.
Yeah, because they just want to live in this world where COVID
didn't happen.
Dominates.
Yeah, or you want to live in a world where it's just, no, it's normal. Life just goes on. What? Everyone gets sick. I'm like, really? Because I know mad people who went to the hospital for this. I know people who were on ventilators. I know people who died. I know all of it. And yet, I've never known that for the flu on a yearly basis in this country. It's weird.
Yeah, like that, the level of contagious that it was even was just like.
Yo, guys, we can name celebrities who died because of COVID. Tell me the last time you remember a famed American celebrity of any import dying from the flu. I'll wait.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not, everyone throws that at us like it's common, but the truth is this affected a way broader group of people. Damn it, how do we end up in a COVID rant? Stupid pods. Stupid pods. No, I tried to get tickets today. There was like an early ticket thing.
Why do you need tickets? You're going to win the 24/7 championship for a second time at WrestleMania.
I'm good, but my someone you guys are all familiar with, my agent,
1,000%
is, you know, he's going.
Yeah.
And my girl is going.
1,000%.
Pods for Mania should be the norm, though. Like a ringside, pod with just five or six of your homies. Because the pod is, the price is the price. You know what I mean? I don't think they're charging you more if you have.
Yo, you guys, if you had a pod, if they had a pod for 10.
Yeah.
I would drop. You might drop 5 G's on that. No problem. Pod for 10, 500 a person, but you have your own space.
Yeah.
That's worth 500.
That is.
Especially throw in a couple beverages for my pod.
It's worth it, especially if they drop it ringside.
What? Yeah, I'm very curious what it's going to be like. And anyways, I tried to get the tickets. I couldn't figure out. I am predicting the Ticketmaster thing tomorrow is going to be complicated. I am predicting that. These tickets are going to be in very high demand. I think people are so ready to go back. People are so ready to have wrestling in person. Limited number of people. Even if they extend the number to be more than they anticipated and it's a high number, it's still not going to be capacity.
Yeah. It's not. They can't go capacity. I think they know that.
What's capacity in there? Like 80,000?
Yeah. I think they said like 75%, which still just as a number makes people cringe. It feels high, but.
It makes people cringe and feel high, but I'll tell you what, when you see 75% versus 100, it'll feel different. Like, it'll still lead to spread out, for sure. And if it's pods, kind of tough.
If it's pods, that's the only way they get to the 75, honestly.
Wait, so it's two-person pods and four-person pods?
No, I think they have, like, up to six people in a pod. So I think they just sell in the pods, and then you have to buy the full price of the pod. And then
no, but there are solo tickets too. And there are four there. I saw it today when I went on, there were solo, two and four packs. I believe
they have the 6-person pods too.
So, but if you buy a two, where do you end up? They're going to put you in a pod.
You might just end up in a smaller pod.
This is going to be very interesting because it would be kind of weird if you're like, oh, I got a pod, but I'm in here with two strangers. Like one.
No.
That would
can
be
imagine?
1,000%.
That would be terrible. Should we read a couple of emails before we put a bow on this puppy?
Let's do it.
First of all, I want to give a big shout out to a friend of the show for her birthday, the great Katie Lyman. Shouts to Katie. She is a huge fan of the show. She's from Chicago. She's a wrestling fan. She's a hip-hop fan. She listens all the time. Happy birthday, Katie Lyman. Also, someone sent me this in email. Let me see if this works. I don't know if this is trash. I don't know if this is good.
Uh-oh.
We're going to see what happens. Hold on.
We're going to find out together.
Yep. Oh, it's visual only. So it's the same thing, but this listener, shout out to Maynard. We know Maynard. he kept it, but he added me into the visual graphic. Now, Maynard, I mess with that. But if you want to take it to the next level, you got to add it to the audio. Like, I think there's a spot there, right? At the end?
There's like a bear.
A bear? Hold on. Let's see. Let's listen one more time if you could.
Yes, sir. We promised you a great main event here tonight.
WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running west.
Peter Rosenberg! Right?
You get, that's right there.
Or a bear, I'm bringing it home! Like, you can get something in there. It's right before the Rock, I think. Did you watch Young Rock this week?
I did. Interesting episode. I didn't realize how deep Cheech Marin was in the Miami football game. I did not.
That's very funny. Very, very funny.
I did not.
Welcome to the shoot, Arrow baby.
I'm enjoying the show still. The best episodes are really good. The worst episodes are fine, but a little, just cheesy. But I enjoy the show overall. Yo, man, it is a fast show.
I can't believe he got Eat It and Beat It on network TV as well. Primetime.
Then he got what?
Eat It and Beat It.
When did he say that again?
When they asked him what was in his fanny pack.
Oh.
He said condoms and Pop-Tarts.
Eat It and Beat It. Yeah, that is crazy. Has he said that before? Is that a real story, the condoms and Pop-Tarts? You know that?
I have no idea, but I like it. I like that it's the official story now.
Yo, it was, but isn't it amazing when you're used to watching hour-long TV how fast a sitcom in 20 minutes is?
Yeah.
Like, nothing happened this episode. He sat on the couch.
The whole time.
It was basically like he was on the couch, show was over.
We didn't even get to see them go see the Dolphins.
No, never even happened. I'll tell you what, though. That kid who's playing the 18-year-old Rock, I mean, it's the best casting job in history, I think.
Yeah, I think all of them. Because they show him side by side at those age groups.
And his mom is great. And I loved how they used the real Ed Orgeron at the end of the show.
Yeah.
I love Kenny Smith. He's from Queens. He's a terrible actor. But Rock, your dad seemed to know so much about mental health.
Mental health.
That yeah. Part, I was like, yo, okay, Kenny, let's all relax here. All right, let's go to the mailbag.
Mail.
David says, hey, Pete, not writing to get this right on the air. Oh, perfect. Good call. I'm really a good broadcaster. I picked the good ones. No, that's about personal stuff. A lot of people like to reach out about the personal stuff, and I appreciate it. I've heard from a lot of people who have heard me mention my divorce and have emailed as a result, and they remember times that were they could tell on the show I wasn't doing well, and so they reach out. And I've had some some pretty in-depth emails with people about like going through personal stuff. So I'm not going to read that one on the air from David, but I do appreciate it. I'll tell you one thing. You want to know who understands the difficult times of Cheap Heat? It would be the guy across from me on Zoom here.
Yeah.
He was seeing me getting through an episode and the mic would go. I would see him, only talk to him about how bad things were. We'd do the episode. The second the episode ended, pick back up talking about how bad things were. That was it.
Those were good times, though. Those were still good times. I know you're not thinking about it like that.
No, they were not good times. Good times for this. That was the most selfish thing you've ever said.
No, they were good times.
I just put you over as a friend.
Those were good times for us. Because think about the level of bonding that occurred on those walks home, and just showing up to the studio early and just vibing out.
Vibing out. That is the most loose use of the term vibing out I've ever heard. If you mean crying.
I didn't want to say all that.
Vibing out. Now, here's a question. I am asking this with complete earnest and sincerity. During those times, did I cry in front of you?
No, you got close, but you did not.
Did tears ever run? Did I ever have to wipe tears away?
There was a few wipes.
A few wipes, but not an actual. The producers of the K show saw full-blown sitting on the floor crying. They saw it all. Now, I don't know if Michael and Don might have too, but really my boys, Andrew and RJ.
Andrew and RJ?
Yeah, Andrew and RJ, because there were days where it just couldn't, something would happen, and I would just go in the other room and sit there. And I feel so bad. They'd probably be looking over like, Jesus Christ, what are we going to do with this guy? What do we say to him? Hey, dude, hey, dude, you okay? Like, what do you say? You know, I now feel bad in retrospect that. But anyways, I say all of that to say, and I hope this moment is inspirational. And by the way, I'm not an inspiration guy, okay?
But you are, though. I would disagree, too, because I'm thinking about, like, no, but you are. Because even back then, too, when, like, that stuff was happening, you would say stuff that was, like, very profound. And it was, it honestly was the type of stuff that I probably should have been saying to you.
But I said it to myself.
But you said it. But you were the one saying it, and it was all true, and it was all the type of stuff that you need to hear. But I guess for you, it was also the type of stuff you need to get off your chest.
Say it to myself.
So you know.
Well, no, and you did. I actually do. You said some really nice things. I remember a few of them. But this is not what I was going to say about not being inspirational. I hate a motivator. I hate professional motivation. I hate it. I'm sorry. I know it may be negative. I'm in a lot of therapy to work on the things that I'm negative about, and I still need more help. God is not done with me yet. I am doing the best I can. But one thing that has never changed is my level of lack of trust for people who, for a living, tell you how you can be better. I believe you're inherently preying on the people you're talking to and taking advantage of their weaknesses. I cannot look at it another way. I'm not saying it means that you're a bad person. I'm just saying I don't trust it. I don't. Because the truth is, none of us can tell someone how to live their life. People always try to ask me, like, what do I do to do that? Bro, work really hard. Try your best. I don't know. Get lucky. Be white. In America, I don't know what to tell you.
That's a big one.
Exactly. And how helpful is that if you're not white? You can only do so much. You know, and I say that jokingly, but, like, you know what I'm saying? You can't. They're intangibles. They're just things are. But through experience, things are inherently inspirational. So I say all of that to say, which I've been saying that a lot. I've been saying I say all of that to say.
Well, people like to know. People like to know when the exclamation point is coming.
And right, exactly, SUG. It's the setup for the exclamation.
It's not a good. It's you don't drop it. Keep it in the repertoire.
Okay, I'm gonna leave it there.
Because if people are tuning out, then they get okay. This is where.
You know what? I say all of that to say. If you're going through anything right now, no matter how bad that is, and someone listening of the people we listening, there's someone listening right now who's had a tough week, and even during this episode, they're in and out of paying attention because they're thinking about something else that's much more important. And maybe what you're dealing with is not as bad as what I dealt with, and maybe it's much worse. We don't know. If I can sit here right now on March 18th, 2021 with SGG and laugh about the level of sad I was with the same person who had to see me every week through the worst of it, if that is even humanly possible, you can get to a better place. Because it was impossible to visualize that at the time. If SGG had been like, yo, my man, you're going to be good. I'd be like, you want to be kicked off the show? How about you never come back again? If someone had even just tried to say, you're going to be all right, my G, I'd be like, what? No, I'm not, okay? And I meant it with every bit of my
fiber. Those are fighting words.
Yeah. You just taking it lightly? Do you not understand what pain is? So you may hear me laughing now. This was not a laughing matter. And by the way, overall, it's still not a laughing matter. Okay, I'm not saying it's not sad and there's not really sad things about this or whatever it is that you're going through. In fact, what you're going through, there may be no silver lining. You know, my situation, fortunately, was a personal one. I've been through ones that are life or death also. This was not that. Okay, and so, you know, my ex is okay. You know, we're good. We're straight. So, I understand everything's different and some things will not have any silver lining that you can find, but people find a way to find some level of joy, some level of happiness, some level of stability, and the days start passing. Put a day together. Put 2 days together. Put 3 days together. You know,
just to add to that, you know, if this is helping you guys find some level of joy, we appreciate that.
I thought you were going to say? I thought SGG was about to go, hey, listen, and if any of this helps you and brings you any level of joy, go buy the 24/7 t-shirt.
No, I wasn't.
Welcome to the shoot, Arrow baby.
All right, we're not going to get to read mail because we just talked about ourselves for that long, but I hope that meant something to someone. RosenbergBeats@gmail.com. RosenbergBeats@gmail.com. If you want to email us, we would appreciate it. I know I owe you emails. And because I'm not reading them today, I'm going to go respond to some. SGG, you have the password. Will you respond to some too?
I don't have the password. So text me the password. Yes, I'll go do. In and I'll respond. I had it, but then it was saved into my phone. So I never saved it outside of that. And then when I switched phones, I had to like sign back in, but I never had the password.
Damn.
So it was only saved. So I need, I think I know what it is.
All right. All right.
But if it changed, then
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think it changed. But I'll send it to you.
All right.
So guys, I'll get to that. I appreciate all of you so very much. This is for real now because the shirt has stayed up. I want to give every, I gave last week's episode. I'm going to give this week's episode and then I'm taking the shirt down. So this is promise you for real. The shirt comes down Saturday or Sunday. So if you want it, get it. If not, don't worry about it. There'll be another one day, but yeah. Not this one.
Get it before Fastlane.
You know what I'm saying? Because after Fastlane, it's a wrap ski. Make sure you tune into the kickoff show, which I'm looking forward to, 6 o'clock on the WWE Network or WWE YouTube, whatever it is that you.
Or Peacock.
Or Peacock. And by the way, what day is the Peacock change?
I think it's today. I think the WWE Network is on Peacock right now,
so
as we speak.
So
March 18th.
But our subscription doesn't end for a couple days, right?
April 4th.
So okay. So,
so if you're like me and you already have Peacock, you can already go on the network and start.
But I just think it's important that before Mania, if you're going to be using Peacock, you get adjusted to it because there are some different things about Peacock.
Yeah, the interface is very different.
Heard it's very different. I heard that like it's not on certain TVs, and then it's not. You can't always. You have to make some settings changes. I heard in order to mirror it from your phone.
Well, if you have a Roku. You have Peacock.
It's built into Roku. No, so Roku it's in. I think Fire Stick it's not.
Fire Stick is not.
One of the big ones it's not, SGG, and Samsung TVs.
Dun, dun, dun. But yeah, Roku's have the Peacock. So if you just get like, if you have like a Roku, it doesn't have to be a Roku TV, but if you have like a streaming stick or whatever, Peacock is available.
All right. We can't say Peacock this many times.
someone messaged. And they will say that, like, if this was the Attitude Era, because, you know, Peacock and WWE Network were both the same price, it was just like, you know, keep the WWE Network and get the cock for free.
Oh, my God.
Mail.
I didn't mean to push the mail button. Stay mage, SGG. That was something.
Thanks, Pete.
Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Midge. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.